The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
This week on our podcast, Seth Kuberski from The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando 2019, which just came out, is our guest today. And you know I'm a big fan of The Unofficial Guides. We've had other folks who've written The Unofficial Guide to Disney Cruise Lines, to Disneyland and Disney World. And I highly recommend, if you're going to any of these places or going on the cruise ship, before you head out there, you get The Unofficial Guide, because it's so packed with information on how to save yourself money, things you need to see. And Seth, this project of yours, you know, you come out with this book every year. You're just always working on this, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a continual process. The day that I finish one book for one year and send it off to the printer, I'm already starting to take notes on the next year. The wonderful and horrible thing about Universal is that they never stop changing things. And sometimes they don't even admit that they're changing something until after it's already changed. So,
oh, that's hilarious.
I'll never be out of a job as long as Universal keeps building new stuff.
Can you give me an example of something that changed that they said didn't change and then they finally admitted it?
Well, you know, right now they're working on a couple of big projects. One is a new show that is going into the theater where Terminator 2 used to be. And they made one brief, one-sentence announcement about that almost a year ago and have been completely silent since. But if you know how to look up things like construction permits that are filed with the local government,
wow.
You can see they're digging up sewer lines. They've broken holes in the building in order to extend the size of the building. There's all sorts of big things going on. But if you ask Universal, they'll just say, oh, we're working on something new and we don't want to talk about it.
Wow, you are extensive. That is amazing that you're checking out their sewer records.
You know, and I got to say that it's not just me. There's actually a whole network now. It used to just be Disney that inspired people to scrutinize everything they do. But now you've got Universal fans who are just as hardcore. And there's a bunch of great people on the internet and on Twitter who dedicate themselves to kind of researching these obscure public records and sharing them with other fans.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, let's start with the most amazing thing that goes on at Universal Orlando, and that's the Harry Potter attraction, which is basically two different, if you've never been there, it's genius that they have it split up into two different parks. So you need to have passes to two different parks to have the whole Harry Potter experience. One of the most amazing marketing things I've ever seen.
That's how they get you. You know, when they first introduced the Wizarding World of Harry Potter back in 2010, it was only in one theme park. And they advertised it as a theme park within a theme park, which is kind of a stretch considering there were only three rides there and two of them were recycled. But now that they've got Harry Potter spread between the two parks, and there's the train ride that you have to have the two-park pass in order to ride it back and forth. It truly is its kind of own unique universe tucked inside of the Universal parks. And, woe be unto any parent who tells their kid we can only go to half of Harry Potter because we didn't buy the two-park pass.
And the train, by the way, is not just a train. I mean, that is an attraction in itself.
Oh, absolutely. And some people don't know that you actually see different characters depending on which direction you're driving. So you've got to take the train at least twice.
Oh, yeah.
Once from Universal over to Islands Adventure and then back in the other direction to see what changes.
Now, I was under the impression that Harry Potter World was finished, that, you know, because it's so extensive. But there's something new that's coming in 2019.
Absolutely. Wizarding World of Harry Potter Hogsmeade, which is what opened in 2010 at Islands of Adventure, originally included something called the Dragon Challenge roller coaster, which when Islands of Adventure first opened back in 1999 was called the Dueling Dragons. And it was famous for having two tracks, one red, one blue, where the riders would seem to almost crash into each other. Unfortunately, there were some actual accidents with that, and it stopped dueling years ago. So the ride was never quite what it was intended to be. I've heard from well-placed sources that J.K. Rowling herself was never thrilled about the fact that there was this big steel unthemed roller coaster sitting in the middle of her beautifully themed Harry Potter area. So last year they tore down that roller coaster, cleared the land, and they're building a new family friendly roller coaster. It's not going to have any inversions or flips, but it's going to have some high-speed launches. It's going to go indoors and outdoors. It's going to have lots of special effects and animatronic creatures. It's kind of going to be, if you take maybe the Seven Dwarfs roller coaster or Big Thunder Mountain that Disney has, but kind of amp up the excitement level, amp up the technology level, put in forwards and backwards and all sorts of tricks. And that's going to be the new ride, the new big attraction for 2019. But again, since this is Universal, they haven't said whether it's opening early 2019, early late 2019, just sometime in 2019.
I have to imagine that it's going to be much more Harry Potter themed than the roller coaster that it replaced.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the previous roller coaster had some Harry Potter props in the queue, which is also being completely redone. But the ride experience itself didn't have anything that was particularly Harry Potter in it. In this one, you're going to see some famous creatures like Fluffy, the three-headed dog. There's going to be an encounter with the Devil's Snare. And if you remember the films, the only way to get out of a Devil's Snare is straight down. You might even run into Hagrid himself while you're on the ride.
It sounds like possibly the roller coaster will go straight down because that's the only way to get away from that character.
Well, without giving too much away, if you're a fan of roller coasters and you're familiar with Verbolten in Williamsburg, Virginia, or I believe it's called 13 in Alton Towers, there's some innovative tracks that have been built in the last few years that can create a dropping elevator effect similar to the Tower of Terror right in the middle of a regular roller coaster.
Wow.
And that's the kind of technology that we're looking at on this roller coaster. So it's definitely not your grandpa's roller coaster.
If we could circle back for a second, first of all, I was kind of disappointed when I just found out moments ago that roller coaster that I had been on before was actually just something that was rethemed because it was already there. So that's kind of disappointing to hear that.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that J.K. Rowling agreed to let Universal build their Harry Potter land, because she had been in negotiations at one point with Disney, is that she took a tour of the place early on and saw the old Lost Continent, which is where the Wizarding World of Harry Potter Hogsmeade is located now. And it originally had a kind of medieval Merlin magical theme. And she was so impressed with the sculpting and the design of that area that she agreed to let them turn that into the Harry Potter area. And obviously, they made a lot of changes, but for the budget, the existing dragon roller coaster was close enough that they could retheme it. But it's great to see now that that the land is established and they've clearly paid back their investment costs in butterbeer alone. That now that they're going back through and spending the money to make a truly Harry Potter experience.
And
that roller coaster.
And the other question I had is, you said there were some kind of accidents on the roller coaster. I'd never had heard that before.
Yeah, there's some very sad stories about this was several years ago, but there was an incident in which some change, some coins were thrown by guests riding in one car at guests in another, and there was an injury, there were lawsuits, it's a really sad story that gets, readers can look it up online. It's too tragic to talk about this morning.
Yeah, okay. But, suffice to say, yeah.
But suffice to say, the idea of having two roller coaster cars going towards each other at high speed, that's not coming back anytime soon.
By the way, I was in New York City a couple weeks ago for the Christmas season, and the new FAO Schwartz is open, and they sell butterbeer in there.
They do?
Yeah.
Did you get to try it? Is it the same as the one that they serve at Universal?
No, because the line to get into that toy store was about literally about 2 hours to get in, and we were like, well, we're not going to wait 2 hours to go into the toy store, so we didn't.
Well, I will say there are some days, especially right now in Orlando, it's in the 50s today, got down into the 40s last night. And a day like this, I am almost tempted to drive over there just to get a cup of hot butter beer. Everyone knows the cold butter beer, the frozen butter beer. But a couple of years ago here in Orlando, they introduced hot butter beer. They only serve it during cold weather. And I will say that a cup of hot butter beer with a shot of fire whiskey snuck into it that's the breakfast of Triwizard Champions right there.
Very nice. Very nice. Now, I got a few notes on the book here. The book has just come out, but it says that there's going to be a massive expansion coming to Universal Orlando, which I'm going to be honest, I kind of find that interesting to me because they're kind of landlocked.
You're absolutely right. The original property of what we all think of as Universal Orlando is pretty much completely built out now. They've added additional hotels over the years. They've got the water park that opened last year. There's really not a lot of room. So what they did was they went out and bought almost 1,000 acres of additional land. We're talking more land than they have now currently in total. And this is just south of their current property, on land owned by the originally owned by the big military contractor Lockheed Martin. Ironically, this is land that Universal actually owned back during the 80s and early 90s. And when they hit a slump right after Islands of Adventure opened, they sold off all this land to another developer, and now they've circled around and purchased it back. So right now, they are doing preliminary grading and construction work to clear the land, to build retention ponds and drainage canals. There is a constant stream of dump trucks, hundreds and hundreds of dump trucks filled to the brim with dirt going in and out of that land all day, every day. Now, we're still not going to see a new theme park there that's ready for guests to enter until 2022, 2023. You know, this is Universal. Who knows? It'll probably be open before they announce that they're building it. But they've got land out there for at least one more theme park, several hotels, another nightlife destination like City Walk. They pretty much got all the room that they could possibly want. And on top of that, smack dab in the middle between those two properties, their old property and the new property, they've got what used to be Wet and Wild. And when they shut down the Wet and Wild water park a couple of years ago to build their new Volcano Bay park, they've now recycled that land. What was Wet and Wild is their first value price hotel, their lowest price hotel with rates starting well under $100 a night. And that is right there on I-Drive, less than a couple minutes drive away from their main parking garage. And that hotel, when it starts to open in 2019, I think you're going to see that put a lot of the little mom-and-pop low-end motels that are on iDrive, put them out of business because they're just not going to be able to compete with Universal's quality at that price point.
Yeah. Well, any idea what this new theme park is going to be all about?
Okay. So there's lots of rumors. There's lots of speculation. What we do know for sure is that it will involve Nintendo in some way, shape, or form. Universal signed a big agreement a few years ago with Nintendo. They've already broken ground on their Nintendo land in Hollywood. They've gone vertical with major construction already well underway with the land in Japan. They had just about started building a Super Nintendo land in Universal Studios Florida in the Kid Zone area where Barney and Curious George and those kids attractions are. And that very mysteriously stopped and was put on hold about a year ago. And the best speculation I can offer for that is because Super Mario and Donkey Kong and those characters are going to be going into the new park. The other thing that I think you're going to see in the new park is DreamWorks characters. Universal purchased the DreamWorks animated characters like Kung Fu Panda, who got a attraction out in Hollywood this last year. They own Shrek, How to Train Your Dragon, which is a very popular franchise and is being featured in the new Cinematic Celebration Nighttime Lagoon show. So I think you're very likely to see that that franchise appear in the new park. And maybe some other DreamWorks characters like the Trolls. And I'd say the other two strong speculations that I've heard, Fantastic Beasts. Of course, you know, the Harry Potter franchise is continuing the new Fantastic Beasts films, and those would be prime candidates to go into the new park.
Well, how incredible would that be if there was a third Harry Potter world? I mean, why wouldn't you?
Sure. Well, you know, Fantastic Beasts has new settings, new locations. I haven't seen the latest film yet, but I'm sure if you watch it, there's at least one or two scenes in there that would make a good theme park ride. I think in terms of space, if they wanted to put more Harry Potter into the existing parks, they could tear down the Fear Factor Live Stadium that's next to Diagon Alley and build a Ministry of Magic attraction. There's been talk of that over the years. And they could also tear down what's remaining of the Lost Continent in Islands of Adventure. They shut down the Sinbad stunt show this past year and have not put anything in to replace it yet. So that's also a prime location where they could put more Harry Potter. But to be honest, they've got enough Harry Potter in both of the existing parks to attract plenty of guests. If they could spread that to a third location, then that would give that new park a boost as opposed to just cannibalizing the existing Potter fans. And then the last thing that's been speculated is Jurassic World. They have out in California turned their Jurassic Park ride into a Jurassic World attraction. There have been talk of upgrades in the Jurassic Park area and Islands of Adventure, and also discussion of maybe expanding the brand out to the new park, because they've got some great new Jurassic World attractions that are coming to Universal Beijing that would also be great to have here in Orlando.
Wow. You know what? It's amazing how Universal Studios has changed in the past decade or so, mainly because Harry Potter put them on the map. But, I hear so many families like, we might just go to Universal Studios instead of going to Disney. We've been to Disney twice. We might just spend our whole vacation at Universal Studios this year.
I hear more and more guests, people contact me because they've read my books and they want help planning a vacation. And more of them are either taking a big chunk out of the middle of their Disney vacation to hop over to Universal Orlando, or they're just skipping Disney altogether and doing a strictly Universal trip. And, the number one thing that I hear, yes, it's the rides are a little more exciting, a little more thrilling, a little newer. But mostly people find Universal much more easy to navigate. If you've been to Walt Disney World in the last few years since they introduced the FastPass Plus system, some people really like being able to plan out what ride they're going to go on at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, 60 days from now. but there's a lot of people on vacation who just want to wake up, go to the park, and do whatever they feel like doing and don't want to have to map out their exact itinerary 2 months in advance. And Universal still allows people to kind of explore, find your way around, especially if you're staying at one of those on-site hotels that includes the unlimited express passes. It's a much more low-stress experience. A lot of people come back from Walt Disney World vacation saying that they need another vacation from their vacation.
Yeah.
Whereas Universal has a lot more opportunities to just kind of unwind and unplug.
I want to ask you about a couple of specific attractions. One is Fast and Furious, and you have some insider tips for experiencing that ride.
Well, my first insider tip is that unless you're a huge fan of the Fast and Furious franchise, you might not want to make it one of your top priorities. It is the newest ride in the Universal Studios Florida park. But I tell you, to be perfectly honest, I get more negative feedback from people who go on that than pretty much any other ride. It's kind of falls in that category that it's so bad it's good. It's the worst acting of any theme park ride. And granted, the Fast and Furious rides are not known for their Shakespearean dialogue or Oscar-winning acting performances, but there's some cheesy stuff in this ride, and it's based on a 3D ride that's out in Hollywood as part of the studio tour. But when they brought it back over to Orlando, Universal gets a reputation of having too many rides with 3D screens, and their answer to that was to simply take the 3D away. Didn't replace it with anything. They just took screens that were designed to be 3D and made them flat. What I will say is if you want to do Fast and Furious, despite my warnings, look for the single rider line. Like a lot of rides at Universal, if you're willing to be split up from your party, and being split up usually just means sitting in the row in front or behind, or worse, being in the next car. You can cut your wait easily from half hour or more down to 5 or 10 minutes. And the best part about the single rider line is that it skips past the pre-shows. And the pre-shows, to be honest, have the worst written dialogue of any pre-show. It makes the jokes about frozen yogurt in the Shrek pre-show look like a witty Neil Simon play.
That's what I love about you, Seth. And that's the whole part about the guide. It's very honest.
We tell you straight up what's worth your time and what isn't.
Sure.
And what I'll say is, they offer a thing called the virtual line over at Fast and Furious. They tried this earlier on their Jimmy Fallon attraction. Sort of works like a free Fast Pass. Instead of standing in the standby line, they give you an assigned time to come back where you're supposed to cut the line. Here's the secret. It doesn't work very well on Fast and the Furious. They designed it so the people in the regular line and the virtual line, they merge into one line about 20 minutes before you even reach the pre-show. So unless that standby line is more than half an hour, don't even bother with a virtual line at Fast and Furious.
Now, they also have some new behind-the-scene tours at Universal, and you can do that for free. What is that all about?
Yeah, so these are things that they've actually had in the park for quite a while, and they've always been a secret. And I've had people ask about them, so I made a point in this year's edition of calling them out and telling you where you can find them. Now, a lot of theme parks will let you pay for a special VIP tour where you get to go around behind the scenes. Universal does offer those. They're quite expensive. They're several hundred dollars per person on top of your regular park admission. But they also have these secret tours that you can ask for that cost absolutely nothing. One of my favorites is at the Men in Black attraction at Universal Studios Florida. If you get off the ride and you ask the person there at the exit of the ride if you can have an immigration tour, they'll send you upstairs to wait for an employee, and when they have a break, they'll come and they'll actually take you inside the queue. There's a point in the queue where the guests waiting for the ride can look down on this room that's straight out of the movie with computer desks and animatronic aliens and all sorts of props from film. And they'll actually walk you down into there. They'll let you take pictures close up with the animatronics and even let you sign a logbook of guests who have gone down there over the years.
Wow.
And completely free. All you have to do is know the secret word to ask for the immigration tour. And they've got similar things like that over at Revenge of the Mummy, at Jimmy Fallon, at the Incredible Hulk ride, where they no longer allow you to take cameras inside the queue for safety reasons. Well, if you ask for a gamma tour, they'll give you an escorted tour, will let you take your camera in and show you all the little Easter eggs in the queue. Even the new Reign of Kong ride, Skull Island ride, if you ask for a temple tour, they'll point out all the secret things in the queue and even sneak you onto the ride without having to wait.
Wow. And I guess the passwords are in the book?
Yeah. In the book, I tell you all of the key phrases to ask for and the best times of day to go by and ask for.
Wow. That's worth the price of the book right there, because that's a whole list of things to do that nobody even knows about.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where, maybe you've been to Universal before and you're looking for something a little bit different to make, this vacation a little different than the last one. This is a great way. I mean, you can almost fill up a day going to both parks and just doing these secret tours.
And one last thing before I let you go. I know the book is famous for their touring plans. They have them in Disney also in the unofficial guide. But also you list in the book how to take advantage of if you get there and you have like a half a day or you're leaving at 2 o'clock on Saturday, how to take advantage of those half days at the beginning and end of your vacations.
Yeah, this was another one that we added this year due to popular demand. A day ticket to the park is really expensive. I mean, we're talking a minimum of $110, $120 for a day. And if you're not going to be able to be at the park the whole day, that's not a great way to spend your money. So if you're flying in the afternoon or you've got an departure in the evening and you don't want to spend a full day in the theme parks, we call out some great activities, both right there on Universal property. Some of them are free, like exploring the resort hotels or taking the free water taxi around the canal system. And some of them are just off of Universal property. A lot of guests these days are using Lyft or other rideshare services, so you don't even have to have a rental car in order to visit a place like Fun Spot, which has some great roller coasters, go-karts, and other carnival-style attractions. Spend an afternoon there for a lot less than an afternoon inside the Universal parks.
Great tips as always, Seth. I really appreciate the time. We got some good stuff today. And congratulations on another book. And I know as soon as we get done here, you're going to start working on the 2020 book.
Back to work. Absolutely.
Seth Kuberski from The Unofficial Guide to Universal Orlando. Do not go out to that park without picking out the book. You will absolutely be glad that you did. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. You've been listening to the Travel with Hawkeye podcast. Don't forget to go to our blog at travelwithhawkeye.net. We'll have links to Seth's work there. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. We'll see you next week.